This is the Jeff Horovitz Show on 97.1 The Big Talker.
All right, I want to get into centralization of power in D.C. and just conformism that's going on. And Bruce Sidlinger is going to join us. The Jeff Horovitz Show starts now. All right, folks, welcome. Thanks for listening. Jeff Horovitz here. Happy to be here with you today. And Bruce is with me, Bruce Sidlinger. And we were just, before we came on air, talking about this poll that I have up on the screen. By the way, hello, Bruce.
Hello.
It's been a couple weeks since you've been in studio. I think I replayed.
It's been 2 weeks, but, you know, basically nothing happened, and so we didn't miss anything.
Yeah, I mean, there wasn't any attempt to defile the Constitution.
The same world as before. Yeah, we've just been clicking along, upholding the Constitution.
Yeah. You know, the only thing I said last week about Biden's six, and you and I have been, we have about 4 miles of text back and forth, Biden's six-step COVID plan. The only thing I said last week was, I'm not complying. It's unconstitutional. And I didn't get into the details. So I actually have the 6 points kind of laid out here. And I think you have studied these extensively.
I watched it in real time.
So bad.
But then I got distracted with so many subsequent events that I didn't really do like probably the full level of research on the 6 points because everything else has happened since.
It's so bad. And looking at this poll that you and I were looking at just before he came on, ScottRasmussen.com. So he does the Rasmussen polls that come out. I don't know how accurate they are as far as determining that who's going to be president and things like that.
Well, a lot of polling organizations actually have like kind of like a declared leaning. Is there a declared leaning for this organization?
I don't know. But I think this is fairly right as far as, not right, but correct, as far as 57% of Democrat voters believe supporters of Donald Trump are a serious threat to the nation. This is a Rasmussen National Survey found that 55% of those in President Biden's party also consider the unvaccinated a serious threat. So in the Democrats, the majority, 56%, in their opinion, it's the unvaccinated and it's the Trump support. This is our biggest danger to our country. And that really, do they really think this, Bruce?
I feel like I should do the Sidlinger set of disclaimers that, first of all, I do not support any trespassing either on my properties or on the Capitol. That's wrong.
Okay, you're talking about the January 6th.
Right.
Okay.
You're not supposed to do that.
Okay.
And also, I like
a few people.
And also, I like the mRNA vaccines. I'll just say that.
Okay.
So, I mean, those are my disclaimers, right? Now we can go on to discuss the details, but
Let me expand on that, if I may. You are a big proponent of the, which one did you do? The mRNA?
The Moderna.
Moderna. That's the one that's still the provisional kind of,
right.
It's a
provisional one, but it's the one that has scored the highest.
Well, that's because your guy in that company didn't used to work for the FDA, I guess. I don't know. Maybe. Because the Pfizer one got approved.
Yeah.
And that guy was the head of the FDA, and then he was on the board of Pfizer.
Are you saying it's all rigged?
No. I'm not saying there's any correlation or connection here. I'm just saying it just kind of stinks. But you got vaccinated early on. You've been a big proponent of that. As soon as you did that, you're like, I'm re-entering society.
Yeah, I re-entered society. And I have a very intelligent friend that I had this discussion with the other day. And he said, well, Bruce, he said, I still don't want to get the vaccine because who knows what the vaccine might do 3 years from now.
Zombie apocalypse.
Right. He said, answer that.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I said, the logical fallacy there is that you've got to also consider what COVID might do 3 years from now, right?
Mutations, and so on.
Well, or maybe there's just, you know how they have long haul? Maybe there's longer haul.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's just like rubella. You know, rubella gives you what? Heart problems 30 years later. So the point
is, do we get a shot? I thought that was the thing with the dog. No, that's people. Is that people?
Yeah.
Have we gotten that shot?
Yeah, we've gotten all of it.
Because let me say something.
MMR is mumps.
Okay,
rubella.
I've gotten that one. Look, I get accused of being an anti-vaxxer, and that's not the case. I've had many, many vaccines. I have, but when something new comes out like this, I look at the data as far as, and we've talked about this for going on 19 months now, Bruce, I just feel like we're looking at the data, and I don't feel like I'm in the super high-risk category. So for 56% of Americans to think, or not Americans, Democrats, 56% of Democrats to think that I'm the threat to this country, just doesn't make
sense.
Well,
I should tell you the libertarian position, and this is Sidlinger libertarianism, which may be different than anybody else's, because part of being a libertarian is you get to define your own philosophy.
Yeah,
right?
And that's probably why they're never cohesive as far as getting in office.
We can't organize a march or anything because I don't like anybody else. So it's like, but here would be the libertarian response to a pandemic. First of all, as much as I love the free market, there are two examples of where the government has to intervene in free markets. So I'll just preface this. First of all, the government has to intervene in terms of antitrust, because otherwise predatory pricing ruins competition. Otherwise, if one hardware store's got 10% more cash reserves than the next one in town, the first hardware store sells at a loss until the other one goes out of business, and then they kill you on pricing.
Yeah.
So there are situations where the invisible hand doesn't work. They're very rare, but that's one of them.
Standard Oil type thing?
Yeah.
Maybe.
But also just predatory pricing, mom and pop.
You remember the EpiPen thing that was happening? And the price.
Well, I remember they obsoleted them. They had very
The price was like astronomical. Right. I think I'll look that up to make sure I get the right thing. But I think it was that you're talking about.
That kind of gets me off. I mean, someday we could talk about patent extensions. Mm-hmm. I'm completely in favor of intellectual property protection, but I'm completely against what Big Pharma has rigged it to where they make a trivial change to a drug, and then they get another
whatever,
they get a patent
years.
Extension. That's so wrong.
Yeah.
That's why you see these ads and they say, you know, now the pen is purple instead of blue like it used to be. You know, ask your doctor for a new prescription, and then it'll be some really trivial thing.
Yeah. Just change it a little bit.
Right.
Change the chord of the song a little bit.
But anyway, so back to the economic theory, government theory of vaccines. Imagine a hypothetical vaccine that, where if you give 1,000 doses, it prevents 10 deaths, but it causes one death. You know, all vaccines have a downside. Mm-hmm. Well, that vaccine...
You're just talking in general terms.
Yeah, just very general.
Okay.
I mean, those are...
You're not talking about any specific vaccine.
I'm just saying a hypothetical vaccine against a hypothetical disease.
Okay.
You give 1,000 doses, you save 10 lives. You don't know which 10 lives you saved.
Sure.
You save 10 lives and you kill one person. You do know the person that died from it. Well, the reason the government has to intervene is that think of the economics of that, because part of having a free market system is you have to have a tort system. You have to have attorneys, because that's what makes free. That's part of a critical component of free market. Well, let's say that you're able to charge $10 per dose. So your total revenue as the pharmaceutical manufacturer was $10,000, but you get sued for $10 million for the person that you killed.
Okay.
Even though you saved on net 9 lives. So right away, the government has to be involved in vaccines. That's one of the few legitimate, necessary, essential functions of the government.
Okay.
So that was just an aside. Now I forgot what the whole question was.
No, the whole question is the threat to America. Let me get back to that, the threat to America. I have a hard time understanding how people can actually believe that if I support Trump, or if whoever supports Trump, or if you have questions, if you even question the vaccine, you're a threat to America. And then let's flip this around.
I remember my point. The survey, bring that up in a second.
The survey goes on to say that Republicans and independents have a much different view of the threats facing the nation. The majority thought that the top concern was the Taliban. And I'd say this is probably because of the withdrawal that just happened in Afghanistan. I think the Taliban is a threat, but if you were to look at the overall global threat, I think China would eclipse that by however many fold as far as the overall potential.
The Taliban is the bloodier threat.
Exactly. No,
but
and
China
I'm not,
is the end
I'm not
of,
discounting
the, end of
the
America,
Taliban. I'm saying right. But China, though, is, right. Yeah, the tribesmen in Afghanistan are never going to threaten our economy.
Right.
To
if America
I mean, they could, they
exist,
could through terrorism, don't get me wrong.
Sure.
But China is the real right. big threat here. And so Republicans listed Taliban, defund the police, activists, and China. And okay, that, to me, all three of those are good and valid when you compare them to the Democrats thinking, no, the number one threat to America is those Trump supporters and the unvaccinated.
Oh, right.
It's a total disconnect, because the three that are listed by the Republicans are some real threats here. Now, I would
that second item is very timely, because
defund the police?
Yes, there's a vote on Friday in Minneapolis to make that happen. It's a very controversial vote, but it's this Friday.
Okay.
In Minneapolis.
Okay.
So one thing, back to the vaccine, where I was talking about, I was talking about libertarian
approach.
Well, here's what a libertarian does about the pandemic. Libertarian says, we're going to activate one of the government's few essential functions, which is to go all out and make a vaccine and make it available despite the tort attorneys wanting to wreck it, wanting to profit off of it. And then that's it. Then after that, you're on your own.
Yeah.
Because if you guys want to set up different airlines for vaccinated versus unvaccinated, different restaurants for vaccinated versus unvaccinated, it could be the north side, the north or east side of the street for vaccinated and the south or west side for unvaccinated. There's plenty of ways for the people to figure out how to separate themselves. I've always suggested everybody wear red shirts or blue shirts, and the red shirts would probably, you know, part of the queue of the red shirts would be, I'm not necessarily vaccinated, the blue shirts.
You show your colors like a gang.
Yeah. But I mean, there's plenty of ways that the government doesn't have to do anything other than provide the vaccine, because the idea of the vaccine is that's your defense. And then if you want additional defenses, or if you just don't like people, I'm all in favor of people self-segregating to be with the people they like.
Well, people are doing that more and more. I had proposed this last couple weeks of the show regarding our schools. I was like, you know what? If you want to go to a school with all masks, fine. Why isn't there a school for that? If you want to go to a school that teaches critical race theory, fine. But I want to opt out of that. I don't want a part of that. Those are all viable options that already exist for people. Why do you want me in your critical race theory school when I don't want to be there? I don't want to teach that crap to my kids. Why do you feel it's important to indoctrinate me in that? I'm saying go do it.
Yeah,
I think you're wrong, but I want my own school then.
Exactly. And my political platform has always been that what is the least regulatory footprint to achieve the essential effect.
Yeah.
So
instead of the forced effort that we're getting, I want to get an email here.
It's not necessary to make everybody do the same thing. It's necessary to make a vaccine available for free. And also to ship it
all. It's not free, though. I think we should recognize that word. It's free to the consumer.
Free to the consumer.
But it's not free to the taxpayer.
But I'm fine with that. I'm totally fine with that.
Yeah, that's fine. I just think we should be careful
to note that. Free, right?
Nothing's free. I mean, in the meantime.
You're not paying me today, so this is free. My presence here is free.
Well, we're going to get food. We're going to get food.
Oh, okay.
We'll get steak, I think. Isn't it my turn?
Last time we established that.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Anyway, you got an email.
Yeah, I got an email here from Casey. It's very long, and Casey, I apologize. I cannot read it all, but I think it'll get us going here. I'm writing you today in response to the recent announcement made by President Biden, in which he outlined the implementation of a six-pronged comprehensive national strategy to combat COVID-19. Admittedly, government agencies do play an essential role in helping to prevent and mitigate this pandemic. Unfortunately, in recent months, our government's response to COVID-19 has been highly misguided, now bordering on unconstitutional. Too often, policymakers have resorted to national security-oriented measures that not only suppress individual rights unnecessarily, but have proven to be ineffective in stopping the spread of disease and saving lives. This is from Casey, and thank you. And it's a much longer email than that, but I think that's a good place to start. And you can email anytime, talkwithjeff@icloud.com, talkwithjeff@icloud.com. I want to ask you about the 6 points here, and we'll get more into it as the show progresses, Bruce. But the idea of Biden saying last week that if you have 100 or more employees, he's not just talking about the federal employees or the agencies that he oversees, although I don't think he oversees much of anything. If you're a private business, you have 100 or more employees, you have to get them vaccinated. I think there's no question that's unconstitutional. How can that be constitutional in the private sector? Have you given this much thought?
Well, first of all, it's funny in that email, I got a visual as he said, bordering on unconstitutional. Mm-hmm. I was imagining that border being in the rearview mirror and it's miles behind us and the dust is
and it's like a disaster
settled.
Movie and right. like the meteors dust, and asteroids are hitting or whatever.
That border was crossed so long ago.
Yeah.
Dragons. One of the things that I always say is you have to think all the moves ahead, right? So for instance, whenever, let's say somebody that I know loves horses promotes a seatbelt law, because I'm completely against seatbelt laws. Even though I would never be in a car without a seatbelt,
I thought you wanted a seatbelt on a horse, but go ahead. Okay.
Yeah. So this person is saying that a seatbelt law is good or a motorcycle helmet law. Those are two.
That's the argument that people are making, Bruce, is right. That, oh, the government tells you to wear a seatbelt. The government tells you to wear a helmet. Right. You're saying government shouldn't even have that authority.
Right. One of the very few times I've actually been a physical political activist besides going to the support the flag police thing. Mm-hmm. The only other time I ever went in a crowd because I hate people is I went to the Capitol steps of Austin to protest the motorcycle helmet law.
Yeah.
And all of my friends are saying, you know, those are donor cycles and I'm a nurse and I've seen what a head injury looks like. I'm saying, listen, I'm going to push everybody, just like I push the vaccine, I'm going to push everybody to wear helmets. But that's different than wanting to force them at gunpoint to wear helmets.
Yeah.
Right. Any law is at gunpoint. Right?
Any law could be enforced at the point of a gun.
Ultimately, it could be, if you don't pay your taxes or whatever. And so I say, look, if you're all excited about first of all, if you believe in seatbelt laws, mm-hmm. then you should just outlaw motorcycles completely, because a motorcycle with a helmet is still much more dangerous than a car without a helmet. Car without a seatbelt.
Okay.
So do you drive
your car with a helmet?
No, okay. I used to live in Texas and have a commute from Kerrville to San Antonio, and there was a guy every morning that drove in a helmet, but he's the only guy I've ever seen that does that.
He's probably wearing a mask in his car alone.
It's not a bad idea. I mean, he was safer.
Yeah, I guess.
But anyway, the point is that if you support seatbelt laws, then it doesn't even make any sense to also talk about motorcycle helmet laws. You should talk about outlawing motorcycles, but also you should talk about outlawing skateboards. Outlawing
scooters,
horses.
Bikes, horses.
Well,
the bicycle died on a horse. Right. A horse can be a dangerous thing.
Now, the bicycle argument might be that there's a health benefit from the exercise. So if you're a scientist, you might say, okay, maybe there's a net. But if you're talking about...
But as far as pure danger...
But if you're talking about a motorcycle, that's the example, the first thing you'd outlaw, because there is no health benefit to a motorcycle. They're awesome.
Fresh air.
I've got 300,000 miles of motorcycles. I love them, but I would have to say, well, wait a minute. If it's the government's job to keep us alive, I've got 300 things that should be outlawed tomorrow.
Okay, let's do this. I've got to take a quick break, but if you want to jump on that motorcycle, maybe get away from it all and just sell everything, let me give you the number of my good friend Kelly Broaddus at Kelly Broaddus Real Estate Advisors, who is in the top 2% of all realtors in the nation. And in this red-hot market, it really does matter who you list your home with. Kelly Broaddus has perfected a system for generating and evaluating multiple offers to ensure you don't leave any money on the table, and you can maybe hop on that motorcycle and take a cruise around the country. Or if you're looking to get on this roller coaster ride of a real estate market, she also will help you purchase a home. I want you to give my friend Kelly Broaddus at Kelly Broaddus Real Estate Advisors a call. Here's the number: 928-606-6749. 928-606-6749. Or visit her at northernarizonafinehomes.com. And one more thing, especially if you're just buying a home or even if you're selling it, something that folks may look at is the gutters. And my good friends at Gutter Helmets of Northern Arizona, this is the number one gutter protection company in the world. And if you don't want to clean those gutters anymore, you don't want to go up that ladder and pick out the pine needles and the leaves and all that debris, then I want you to call or text Carl the Gutter Helmet Man right now. Here's the number. Call or text 928-318-6555. That's 928-318-6555. Call or text Carl the Gutter Helmet Man, 928-318-6555. Don't go anywhere. A lot more to come with Bruce Sithinger. Back in a minute.
You're listening to The Jeff Horovitz Show. Listening to The Jeff Horovitz Show. Be part of the program by calling 877-971-3971.
I want to dig deeper into this 100 employee issue. God, it's crazy times. Real quick, though, sponsor for this segment of the show, Desert Gold Exchange. And if investing in gold is new to you, I want you to call Desert Gold Exchange for a free investor's kit. You just got to mention that you heard about it on the show here. They'll send you out that kit. Or you know, talk with your financial advisor. Talk with Desert Gold Exchange as well. And find out if converting a portion of your existing IRA or 401k into gold or silver is right for you. Plus, they have physical delivery of gold and silver. Call Desert Gold Exchange at 888-852-4343. 888-852-4343. That's Desert Gold Exchange, 888-852-4343. All right, Bruce, let's hit these 6 points a little heavier of what this is what Biden said. And this is just...
I watched that speech. I was just,
I watched it too. And Bruce, I've been saying this for a long time, longest time. This is just the beginning because now there's already talk about, you're going to need to get vaccinated to get on that airplane. You're going to need to, get the vaccine to do this or that.
All right. Cause you said, is it legal to do 100?
Yeah. Yeah. So,
right. What I was going to say is,
and let me back up. Let me remind people, is it legal? One of the things Biden said was that if you have 100 or more employees as a private small business, I'm not talking about government here. These are private, entities, businesses, if you have 100 or more employees, that they have to be vaccinated or what? Or what's the or what here? You got to fire them, Bruce?
Well, okay. Remember, I'm always...
did you read the thing?
I'm always the guy that throws water on the fire. He did say you can get weekly testing.
Okay, fine. So you...
Which is punitive. I mean, nobody's going to do that.
Well...
But I mean, that may let it be... you know, legal scholars are saying that might let it stand
because there's an out. Because there's an out for the people who are unvaccinated. Okay, so weekly testing would be the thing you go
probably
buy at the drugstore.
Employer expense.
Well, I was just going to say that
employee expense, and probably would have to be official. Probably can't be a home test. Well,
no, that's my question here because here's the complications with this. So you know, my wife Angela's going to come on the show, I believe Wednesday. We're going to talk about. Last week and the past 10, 12, 14 days in my family. I'll get to that. Yeah. But I'm well aware of the testing issues that you have with COVID. And you can take the home tests, which cost about 20, the cheapest one I've found, and I don't know if cheap is the best idea when you're talking these tests. It's like 25 bucks for 2 tests from the drugstore, right?
But it's not proctored. There's no way that can count. It's not proctored.
What does that mean?
Anybody could have. I mean,
proctored.
How can you prove it that it was you?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah,
it's just like the it's just like the urine test. I mean, a police has to stand there and like watch you.
They have to watch,
right? So it's not proctored.
Do they actually do that and sit there and watch? I guess if you're taking the test, the drug testing, does that even matter anymore? I mean, aren't most people hopped up on something at this point? Anyway, no, I'm just saying that you got legalization of marijuana and stuff. How do they even
is it legal? The home test we're talking. Well,
I need to resolve the testing issue.
Okay, the testing.
We move on.
The home testing.
Because so I can't as an out, and I was just thinking of being honest and saying, yeah, I honestly took this test and ran it up my nose and swirled it around, and then you put it on the test strip and it has a line like you're pregnant or not, right? You're saying that the out would be, all right, Jeff, you work for Bruce's big bad XYZ company that says I got to get vaccinated. I have to go to the testing place like in Flagstaff. There's one behind the mall and show them my ID and actually have them run the thing up my nose.
Yeah, because I'm not going to risk a $14,000 fine. That's because true. You faked your home test.
Yeah, I just assumed, I take a home test. What if is there an out if I, okay, Bruce, you're sitting there and I say, Bruce, it's up my nose,
yeah, if you
right?
did it in front.
I'm putting it on the strip.
Yes.
Are you saying, have you read, do you know, is there discretion on the testing side for private employees?
Well, I'm just saying if you can cheat, it's meaningless. And so either it's going to be meaningless or it's going to be draconian, one or the other.
Okay.
You're either going to have to do it in front of me or you're going to have to do it in an official testing center, at a proctoring center.
But here's my problem. It takes a couple of days. So what does this mean that I get a test? Let's say I go take the test and they're a lot of times closed on a Sunday. I go... Where do I go? Friday afternoon after work, but they close at 5. I go Friday afternoon and then it's not available for maybe three, maybe more days because now there's so many people getting tests that it takes longer. Am I not able to go to work till I get that test back?
No, you can go to work. The point of this is to punish you for not being vaccinated.
Okay.
Clearly it is. Okay. I'm not even being sarcastic. As a pretend scientist, I'd say because of the transmissibility periods, the incubation periods, all the time overlaps, it's not meaningful It's not guaranteed to have efficacy, except that it will have efficacy in terms of being a nuisance to you, and you'll go get the vaccine.
Or that's the thing is, quit. I might as well just go get it or quit because this is a pain. And what is the usefulness here? Because I may not have symptoms or anything when I get the test, but maybe I get it over that weekend, and then the test comes back negative, but I go to work Monday.
It's just like it's, people are still sanitizing. Sanitizing doesn't matter for COVID, and people are still sanitizing.
I heard one of the local schools when they closed for a few days, they're closing for deep sanitation. I'm like, for what? I mean, okay, fine. You want to go do the toilet bowl handles and stuff, which is probably just a good idea under normal circumstances. Right. But where's the science there? When you tell me you're sanitizing and you're spraying everything, I'm like, that doesn't, the science has proven that that's not the case. Okay, let me go further with this. So 100 employees.
Yeah, or I do want more. To talk about the constitutionality.
Yeah, let's get to the constitutionality. But another thing that somebody was saying from the Biden administration, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, it's in our notes here somewhere, is that they want to crack down on exemptions. What are those? Religious or?
Oh, yes.
What do you know about that?
Okay. So I've been tracking this because I am a fan of Brandy Cruz, who's a dog lover. She's in Seattle. She has this podcast called The Divide, she's a degree in journalism, and she's also got an official gig at the local TV station. So she's a legit journalist.
Okay.
She broke.
I got a gig at a radio station. Yeah. Make me a legit journalist.
Yeah, but although she's like super legit.
Okay. I'm just partial. Go ahead.
It's a bigger market and it's TV.
Fine. That's right. Fine.
Anyway. But I'm not a very good friend, am I?
I've got cameras on you, so it's kind of like TV, but whatever.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Anyway, Brandy, you know, people submit things to her, like whistleblowers. Mm-hmm. And even though she tries to be egalitarian, the whistleblowers tend to be right on the right. And so they said, look at these new forms out of Governor Jay Inslee's office and also out of these other governmental entities all around the Pacific Northwest. And this is a month or two ago. And these forms said, do you claim a religious exemption? Well, historically in America, since you can be a Satanist and that still counts as a religion, you can be anything you want, right?
No religion, Satanist, or whatever.
Historically in America, or you could be a non-religion religion. Isn't that the Unitarians or something?
Well, that like Scientology,
I don't want to get hate mail from Unitarians.
Scientology type thing.
I actually think Unitarians are cool, but anyway. The point is the government shall make no law respecting a religion. Yeah. I think I read that somewhere.
It's in there, yeah. And I think they crossed that out.
So anyway, the first question is, do you claim religious exemption, yes or no? Well, that should be the end of the form, because government shall make no law respecting religion. But then the next question is,
it should be like any area, then stop here.
Right.
You know?
Then the next question is, have you ever accepted any other vaccine?
Oh.
And then it goes on with a bunch more questions. And then the fine print is, you know, the consistency of your answers will be reviewed. Well, so.
By a bureaucrat.
Right. So already back then, I posted on Brandy Cruz's thing a couple of months ago. I said, well, you know, this will lead to the government certification and decertification of religions. Because, the form also required your pastor, your religious professional,
to
sign the form.
Yeah.
So you had to be endorsed by.
Oh, come on.
So the point is, now you've got somebody who's acting in behalf of the government that approves your application for an exemption. Well, the government's going to have to certify religions, because now that decision by a religious official has force of law. Well, anyway,
I'm steaming here.
Jeff's
because
vibrating over
yeah,
there.
Yeah, because, okay, what if I do not belong to any kind of organized church? What if I'm a Christian and I have the Bible and I study that and you believe in God and you interpret the Bible how you interpret the Bible and you're your own person and you say, yeah, I don't have a pastor. But I'm a Christian and I read here that I'm exempting myself and here's why. Shouldn't it just end there? Why do I have to have anyone verify that for me? In that scenario, you could plug in any scenario.
If you're not paying 10% of your income to somebody, you better roll up your sleeve.
Yeah. Can I pay 10% to myself? And am I allowed to keep it? Because I want to get into the tax plan they're proposing too. And you might get about 10% of your actual income.
So I've been thinking about this for months. Like for months, I've been posting. Look now for like Church of England kind of thing where it's a state-sponsored religion. Yeah. And since we're doing everything in the totalitarian playbook, state-sponsored religion is one of those things. Remember the quote by Marx about opium, People misquote it saying the opiate of the masses. It's the opium of the people. Marx talked about the opium of the
which
people.
Which is what? Religion?
Religion.
Okay.
Keeps people settled down because people accept a lot worse in the current life if they think there's going to be something later.
Yeah, they'll put up with that. Okay.
So Marx talked about the opium of the people. Well, anyway, so I've been on high alert for this. Well, then I was watching on CNN, I was watching the Surgeon General interviewed. What was this, yesterday?
Yes.
What day is today? Yes. Yesterday. And he said...
Oh, he said he's going to crack down.
Right.
He
said we're on high to paraphrase. He said we're on high alert for dishonest Americans who are going to abuse their request for exemptions.
Okay.
And so then I said, okay, now it's officially federal. What that can only mean is there's got to be certification of religion. Just like I said that weekly testing is an alternative to getting the vaccination if you work for an employer of 100 or more.
Yeah, that's how they're going to get
it. What that can only mean is proctored testing. Well, based on what the Surgeon General said, if there's any teeth to what he said, that can only mean it has to be your request has to be signed off by an official of a government-sanctioned religion.
Okay, before we go to break, this portion of the show brought to you by my good friends at Crazy Country Boys Services. I've been telling you how to save on your auto repair and maintenance by going to Crazy Country Boys Services for a while now, where you're going to get quality auto repair and service at a really fair price, backed by CarQuest. Plus, you're only going to be charged for parts and services you really do need. Don't overpay for auto repair. Call Big Jim at Crazy Country Boys Services. Here's the number, 928-607-9753. 928-607-9753, or go to crazycountryboysservices.com. More to come, folks. Don't go anywhere. Back in a minute.
You're listening to The Jeff Horovitz Show. You're listening to The Jeff Horovitz Show. Be part of the program by calling 877-971-3971.
Before I forget this, Jane Betcher sent this to me, and she's going to be with us on Wednesday. There's a board meeting for the Flagstaff Unified School District tomorrow, September 14th, but they're having a demonstration out called Keep Our Schools Open demonstration in front of the district offices, 3285 Sparrow Avenue, from 4:15 to 5:30. They say wear blue and bring a sign. So if that interests you, that is happening tomorrow. I want to mention, before we get back to Bruce here, I want to mention a welcome back, an old sponsor, actually, but back on the program here, and I'm really excited that they're with us, Sportsman's Bar and Grill, which is a place that I go to quite a bit. They've been in Flagstaff for a long, long time. It is Monday, so Monday Night Football's happening. They have $3 hard seltzers and $3 Mexican canned beers tonight, $3 Polish dogs. Anyway, one of my favorite places in town, plus I always run into a ton of folks. They've got a lot of screens there, so you can check out all the games. I'm really excited to have these guys back on as a sponsor, and I hope you'll go and enjoy yourselves. Get out there with folks. This is a place that you can see all these games, where you can bring your family, or you can hang out with your buddies or whatever. Get beer, get the great Philly cheesesteak, my personal favorite, with some super, super duper good for you tater tots. Yeah, I love Sportsman's Bar and Grill, so go check them out up there by the hospital. That Bash's Shopping Center, Sportsman's Bar and Grill. And welcome back to the program as a sponsor. Really appreciate it. And I'll be up there, as always, real soon. Maybe not tonight, but in the next couple of days. All right, Bruce Sidlinger is with me. And I want to start off here this segment with this. Let me cue this up. This is an audio. This is a video, actually, but we'll play the audio of Dr. Gupta and Dr. Fauci being questioned by Anderson Cooper with regard to antibodies. Here it is.
And just real quickly, there was a study that came out of Israel about natural immunity. And basically the headline was that natural immunity provides a lot of protection, even better than the vaccines alone. What are people to make of that? So as we talk about vaccine mandates, I get calls all the time. People say, I've already had COVID, I'm protected, and now the study says maybe even more protected than the vaccine alone. Should they also get the vaccine? How do you make the case to them?
And here's Dr. Fauci's response.
You know, that's a really good point, Sanjay. I don't have a really firm answer for you on that. That's something that we're going to have to discuss regarding the durability of the response. The one thing the paper from Israel didn't tell you is whether or not, as high as the protection is with natural infection, what's the durability compared to the durability of a vaccine. So it is conceivable that you got infected, you're protected, but you may not be protected for an indefinite period of time. So I think that is something that we need to sit down and discuss seriously, because you very appropriately pointed out it is an issue, and there could be an argument for saying what you said.
So he's referring to, Bruce, a study that was done in Israel, which looked at the natural antibodies that people have. And it was showing a dramatic, I can't remember the exact words they used, but it was something like dramatic, higher percentage, 13 times greater protection if you've naturally gotten COVID versus someone who is vaccinated through one of the many vaccines that are now out. And I just think to myself, Bruce, first of all, how does Fauci not know an answer to this? How, to me, it's like a duh moment. It's like, yeah, we've been kind of taught for millennia, it's kind of just trained into us that if you get something, Bruce, you have that built up, those antibodies and that natural immunity. Isn't this just common sense at this point? Or is it still too new for them?
I hate to be such a wet blanket more than one time of day, but when Dr. Fauci has outraged me a lot because he was clearly not being candid about the mass.
Okay.
But of all the things he's ever said, from my perspective as a pretend scientist and a pretend epidemiologist and having read a lot of scientific papers in my life, I thought that was a very honest, measured response, what he said.
Maybe he was being honest.
He talked about durability. He didn't talk about the 13X efficacy. I mean, basically Dr. Fauci is saying, to put words in his mouth, if he's really being scientific, unlike how he was about the mass, which outraged me, in this case, it sounds like he is honestly saying, I'm a scientist, I follow the data, and we don't have the data yet for durability.
How can we not have the data after 19 months? They know who's gotten this thing because supposedly they put out those numbers and they know who's gotten this thing. How have they not studied?
Priority. It's just like,
Bruce, wait.
It's political.
40 million people. The number? Approximately 40 million people in the U.S. have gotten COVID since the beginning. They estimate it may be as high as double that because maybe people didn't get tested, didn't have the symptoms, but who knows? Let's go with the official state numbers of 40 odd million. How can they not say, okay, Bruce, you got COVID back in whatever date, and did you get it again? How did they not have a record of, hey, Bruce got this thing twice? They must know many people got this thing twice who have already, a second time.
The funding of government
is out of control.
Epidemiological research is politically motivated.
Okay.
One of the things that I have said 100 times on my Facebook, because I said, okay, I get it. We were caught flat-footed by COVID. But why now aren't there dispensers on every street corner with FDA-approved masks that have had extensive research, that are free, that where we've done? Because notice that we've made no progress on masks. To this day,
we're still wearing the cloth.
You're supposed to go pick what I've said. Well, how many times have I said over the last 18 months? A mask of no particular design, made of no particular material, and untested and unfitted.
Knitted by grandma.
Right. That's ridiculous. Well, I get it if the government said, look, COVID totally caught us flat-footed and, wrap a rag around your face and give us a few weeks and then we'll roll out the official
we'll figure it out.
Mask.
We'll get the official mask. After 19 months, still nothing.
Right. So clearly the government does not want to do that. Well, there was another thing that I read, and I'm just going to hint at it because I'll have to do some more research.
Okay.
But apparently the government, and I'm sure your listeners have heard this because it's been on the media, but I'm just going to hint at it. Apparently there's some apparently the government has said don't even collect data on vaccine side effects in some entity. This was either military or something. It's so juicy. I hate to teach something.
Yeah, you need
that
to give
juicy,
us more than that. But it's a real thing. They do have data on how many people have died from vaccine,
right?
Because there have been there's side effects.
But I mean, the point is that the government wants a simple narrative for the masses, and they don't want a lot of conflicting data.
Put on your mask and you're good to go.
And I can actually tie hot air balloons into this because, you know, I'm an airline rated pilot, seaplane pilot, helicopter pilot, every other kind of pilot. Hot air balloons have never required an aviation medical because, you know, you're close to the ground. If you start to feel ill, you just land and
jump out.
And even if you went unconscious, the balloon would probably land okay.
Okay.
Well,
that's good to know.
The FAA is now going to impose a medical requirement for commercial balloonists. Well, one of the things that I mentioned on the ballooning group is I said, all you guys that think this is not going to be a big deal, I said, the government is one size fits all.
Yep.
You're going to have a second class FAA medical. Well, a second class FAA medical makes a big deal out of it if you're colorblind. Because if you're in an airplane, that matters because
you might miss the big red balloon.
You might have to get light signals from the ground or whatever. It's obviously irrelevant in a balloon, but a lot of balloon pilots are going to have to do a test of demonstrated ability to fly a balloon if they're colorblind.
You're
so
saying
the government is one size fits all.
The camel's toe under the tent,
right,
and then the whole camel.
And so
gets
with
in.
Vaccines, the government wants to just make it simple. Everybody gets vaccinated.
Okay, fine. And I want to hit on this more, but let me just wrap this topic up here. If you are wearing an N95 mask correctly, I can probably have a little more. Okay, that makes a little more sense than grandma's.
Or like
mask.
My spacesuit.
Yeah, or the spacesuit. I don't want to. I beat this one so much. It's just a lost topic at this point because people either are on board. It's a wedge issue. It's a wedge
right.
issue. But I just, when I hear Fauci, just to wrap this one up, say that we got to look into that. I'm like, why haven't you looked into this? And it seems like this should be pretty well established. I'm not
they probably
epidemiologist.
Just see it as unimplementable.
It just
having an argument with every individual citizen about their circulating antibodies and all that testing.
But to me, I should be able to, if they institute a vaccine passport, which by the way, Great Britain this past weekend said they're not going to do a vaccine passport now. Did you see that? They're backing away from all of that stuff now. We're going towards that.
Denmark is canceling theirs.
Yeah, and we're going towards that.
Right.
We're falling behind socialist Europe at this point, which is ridiculous. All right, sponsor for this segment of the show as we rapidly run out of time for this hour, but stick around because we've got a lot more to cover starting at 5:06. My good friends at Sun State Tech, sunstatetech.com. Since 2007, Sun State Tech has been helping Arizona businesses and municipalities operate quickly and safely. They handle cybersecurity, managed IT services, voice over IP, and much, much more. Let the experts at Sun State Tech keep your company safe and moving faster than the competition. Here's the website one more time. And tell them I sent you. Please support our sponsors here. Visit sunstatetech.com today. Okay, we're going to get more into it next hour as far as labor numbers. And I think there's going to be a big, even bigger labor shortage because of what Biden did with this the vaccination issue. We're already short by a couple million workers. We're going to hit on all that. We've got Fox News coming up. Don't go anywhere. More to come. Back in a minute.
This is the Jeff Horowitz Show on 97.1 The Big Talker.
I got to hit on these labor numbers. I mean, we're 2 million employees short now for jobs. And now this vaccine mandate from Biden. We're going to hit on that more. Another hour of the show starts now. All right, welcome back. Jeff Horowitz here. Another hour of the program, and thanks for joining us this hour. And Bruce Sidlinger is here with me as well. And we're going to get back to, I think we really want to focus on this labor issue and these shortages. And it's going to get worse. And I'm going to tell you why here in just a second. And if you've got a comment, I didn't even mention this last hour, the Just Wireless text line is open for you. Text us anytime, 877-971-3971. That's 877-971-3971. 97.1. And since we are now into the 5 o'clock hour and you may be getting hungry, I want you to go check out my friends at Namarco's Pizza. Namarco's Pizza, they've got, first of all, locally owned and operated for over 40 years. Owners Dave and Tommy, they're present daily. You can order in person. You can order over the phone. They've got curbside pickup. They've got delivery. Here's the number, 928-779-0024. That's 928-779-0024. You can order online at Namarco's. That's N-I-M-A-R-C-O-S, namarcospizza.com. Three locations in Flagstaff. I actually visited one last night, Sunday night. My family and I, we went out to their downtown location and had some great wings and some great great pepperoni pizza and well, it was half pepperoni, half mushrooms. And appreciate those folks there at Namarco's Pizza. Great pizza. Go out and treat your significant other or your family or yourself to some pizza, either at a dining location or order it. Here's the number one more time, 928-779-0024, 928-779-0024, or online at namarcospizza.com. Before we continue on here, though, I do want to mention one thing that I mentioned last hour. I think this is important. I've told you, you got to stand up to your school boards, and there's a demonstration, and you've got to make your voice heard. And there's a demonstration tomorrow. Keep our schools open in front of the administrative offices at 3285 Sparrow Avenue in Flagstaff. This is for Flagstaff Unified School District. And they are, one of the school districts that I think has just gotten a lot of things wrong. So people are frustrated. So people are going to be out in front of their administrative offices tomorrow, and we'll get you full details. Maybe someone will call in tomorrow because we're doing 2 full hours of your live listener comments on Tuesday, tomorrow. So if you're going to this demonstration from 4:15 to 5:30, and they say wear blue and bring a sign, I'd love to hear from you. And another show note is Stuart McDaniel is going to join us tomorrow. As well as Mark Howitt. He's going to be in the studio with me. Olivia will be standing by for your live listener comments on the Just Wireless listener line. Stuart McDaniel is going to chime in from L.A. He's been texting me a lot about what's going on there with the recall election. So we've got to cover that one, and we will be covering that one very closely tomorrow on the program. Okay, Bruce, here we have a country that has, and these are government numbers, which are just totally doctored. We have to be honest about this. Whether we look at unemployment or inflation or whatever, they adjust everything. And if you're
like the CPI.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't even want to get into that right now. But if you're into or if you are unemployed, if you stop looking, I believe it's for four over after 4 weeks, right, you're considered, you're gone. So,
right, so you're not even in the
numbers. So
everything is rigged. It's all rigged.
Yeah, hashtag it's all rigged. If you right now, there's supposedly 8.7 million unemployed Americans. These are people who are looking for a job, Bruce. There are, according to a new survey that came out, 10.9 million job openings. So let's just round this up for simplicity. There's 11 million job openings and there's 9 million people unemployed, right? Real simply. 11 minus 9, 2 million people.
And both of those numbers are about to go up.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And that's what I'm going to get to here. So you've got 2 million, you've got a 2 million shortfall on positions right now to fill. Now, this could be more complex than even we could get into because you don't know if this is someone working at a restaurant or if this is someone fixing the robot that's going to replace the person that works at the restaurant. This could [S2] Right. [S1] Be anything from entry level to really sophisticated stuff. But you already alluded to this, Bruce. Biden's move to, on the federal side, require that's the however many millions, how many millions of federal workers is it? 4 million? Let me look. When you're talking, I'll look up those stats.
This is the one.
But what happens to these workers that quit?
Right.
Now, because they don't want to get vaccinated and they're like, I'm done, or they're close to retirement. What happens to the labor force at that point? Go ahead.
I'll tell you what, if Biden, this may be the biggest deconstruction of the federal bureaucracy in the history of America.
This could be good.
I mean, I might want to reelect Biden. I'll say, hey, if he'll keep doing that, if you'll just keep like firing all the government people.
Yeah, he won't though.
Yeah. Cause he's really starving the beast, right? Yeah. But no, I don't. It's incidentally, speaking of federal employees, is the 100 employee mandate going to cover Congress?
No. Okay. So that's something we've uncovered.
Okay.
Is that this vaccination requirement that Biden, you know, the Lord Biden, Emperor Palpatine, basically, he kind of looks like him too. And I, you know, I don't want to get into like picking on someone who's elderly because you're supposed to respect your elders, but his family should have never allowed this to happen. He should have never done it because something ain't right there. I don't care what you say. I'm not a doctor, but you look at him, the cognitive ability is, it's not there, Bruce. And this is,
he's certainly furthering his agenda.
Yeah.
I mean, he's,
he's
like AOC. He's good at what he does, right? I mean, somehow he or his group or his puppet masters or whatever, somebody is doing more change in America. Of course, yeah. I think it's in totally the wrong direction.
Yeah.
But somebody's doing more change in America than any other president achieved.
He's got his handlers. I'm seeing 2 million federal workers, 2.1 million. Is that the number? I'm not sure.
There's a lot.
Definitely
the largest employer. That's way too low if you're including the DOD.
That's way too low because, too low. Yeah, I mean, the post office has like 600,000. Yeah.
600,000 for the post office.
So if you're in Congress, you and your staff don't have to go under the vaccine mandate because it's a different branch of government or the judicial.
I might want to go to Congress, and I'm reading a book about it. We can talk about that later.
Okay. If there is a
later,
because I'm going to get hungry here.
I brought the book.
So anyway, they're excluded. Plus, I'm hearing they say, and then they're backtracking on the postal workers because the postal worker union was against the vaccine mandates. They're saying that maybe they can. But here's my overall point. It doesn't – just put all those numbers aside, which we're unsure of the total number anyway. How many more do we add to the labor shortage going forward? Biden is going to further screw up the economy with this stupid policy. And let me add this, Bruce, and get your take
totally
on
agree.
It. If I'm a small business owner, and a lot of small business owners have 100 employees, I think about a restaurant that may have multiple locations within a community or a larger insulation company or electric, whatever.
Right.
They could easily have 100 employees. Okay, let's say I have 105 employees,
Bruce.
It's
going to be 99.
Like 99 as quickly as possible.
Who wants to mess with
that? Yeah, who wants to screw around with
that? So all the part-timers, you're locking off getting rid of all the part-timers.
Yeah, so who wants to screw with that? And so now you say, what does this do to our economy? What does this do to now I'm this employee or employer who has 105 employees. I have 105 because I need 105. I'm scaling back to 99. I can't get to your job as quick. I have to, there's less availability for me to do the service or provide the good or whatever or manufacture something. But if I'm a business that has 99 employees, let's flip this back and say, I was thinking about adding another location, Bruce, another restaurant. I'm not going to do it now. Why should I do it? I have to deal with this whole regulatory arm of OSHA going forward.
Sometimes the threshold is even lower because remember when Flagstaff opened its own employment bureaucracy?
Because of the minimum wage. Because of the $15 minimum wage.
But yeah. I mean, that basically there's this guy that's, I forget his name, but he's like literally could come over and look at your
records.
He's
like the labor czar of Flagstaff.
Right.
I can't remember the exact name.
Right.
But
so, you know,
like
I've been building this factory and I've got another big machine in my factory now. I was talking to my machine tool salesman, and I said, John, I'm going to want robots. And the robots are very expensive relative to how many parts I'm going to make.
Mm-hmm.
But I said, there's no amount of money that would be more expensive than having an employee in this town.
Yeah.
Because it's not just the $15 an hour.
No.
It's the fact that I all at once, the Flagstaff bureaucracy and all the bureaucracies above that, including OSHA. I mean, the perfect machine shop going forward is zero employees. Think of all the stuff that saves you.
Just have the robots do it.
If I would absolutely spend $1 million on additional robotic everything. I'm doing robotic everything. Mm-hmm. Even a cart to move the parts around.
Like, is the robot going to get your coffee?
Yes. This robot, awesome. It's funny because if Christian's listening, he literally did that with a robot. He demonstrated a robot by having it make coffee.
Okay.
Industrial robot. So yes, we're basically making it to where you're not going to want employees.
Why would you want?
And of course, then that means that's the feedback loop into the guaranteed basic income.
That's universal basic income.
Right.
So they're feeding right into that. It's like this, what do they call that? The snowball effect where it rolls down the hill.
Yeah.
And it just builds.
Well,
and
there's virtuous avalanche. Cycles and vicious cycles.
Yep.
And this would be the vicious
cycle.
We're
in the vicious cycle.
Because everything is going to be an argument for UBI. And then UBI is going to make people even less motivated to try to be employees. And the employers are sick of them to begin with, and everything's going to be robots.
Bruce, I've got this other topic I want to hit on because you just said, hey, people are going to be more and more in the system, and you've got the robots, which leads to universal basic income, and then you got this snowball effect that happens. You know that I have rental properties, and I had a huge issue with the eviction moratorium, and I warned people when the government did the eviction moratorium, this opens the door to everything else. If they can tell your business that you can't collect payment for services rendered, which is the rental
property.
Remember,
both of us said, why isn't Safeway free?
Well, yeah, why can't I just walk out the store with groceries? Because you got
to
eat.
Or why can't I just walk up to you and say, Jeff, I need some weeds pulled, and I demand that you come pull them, and no, you won't be getting paid.
Yeah, no, you can't get paid because I got to have the weeds pulled.
Right.
But I warned everyone about this, and now the new branch of this is the Biden administration. He acted like a little dictator up there, a king. Especially with his remarks to governors. Oh, we'll be, we're coming for you.
He's lost patience.
Yeah. He's lost patience. I shouldn't say we're coming for you, but right. We're, politically speaking.
Right.
I hope, who knows, this could lead to that kind of stuff where they say, hey, we don't need the governors anymore. I'm Emperor Palpatine.
We don't really need any of the branches of government.
Yeah, we don't need anything. I'm the emperor. I can decide. But, okay, the eviction moratorium, I warned you about that. And now if you have 100 or 101 or whatever employees, which is not a super large company, it's a good sized company, but not super large. Well, now they're telling you what to do and who to hire and who you got to let go, actually. But I think this,
I think this will be brought to court
and it will be found unconstitutional, but it may take a long time.
An alarmist would say that the government is seizing the means of production.
Yeah. This is total Atlas Shrugged type of scenario. So I do want to share this with you because we talk about the amount of people that are unemployed and that there's, 2 million jobs approximately redetermined that are unfilled. That's going to continue to grow. I'm in the rental business, and I've finally been able to, if someone hasn't paid their rent, you can go through the court process. It is working now, but I can't tell you how long until they.
Yeah, I would do it quick.
Yeah, because they could wave the wand. But I want to share this with you without naming names or anything. And maybe let's just say I'm referring to friends I know that are in the rental business. Let's go with that. There are now people that before the pandemic, before COVID, they would pay their rent. They would figure out a way, and sometimes they wouldn't, and they would get kicked out, and they would have to move on, and life goes on, and they would get a couple of months free, and I would lose a couple months, whatever. But there are now people that are receiving through Department DES rent every month, and they're prepaying they're guaranteeing that, hey, we're going to pay them through for the next 5 months. And they've already gotten 7 prior months. So they might be 7, 8, 9, 10 a year, right? 12 months mm-hmm. of rent now paid for. Let's call it $1,300 a month.
Yeah, and weaning from that.
There's no weaning from that because I'm thinking to myself, now they've pretty much these tenants that are taking advantage and in some cases, I think taking this for granted are now receiving from the government, which is the taxpayer or borrowed money from wherever. They're receiving free housing for upwards of a year at this point through these government programs. You never wean anyone off of that. And I think to myself, first of all, 2 points here, Bruce. You're never going to get these people off of this because now it's expected. It's an entitlement. But second of all, why aren't these people taking advantage of this and saving up and saying, I've got 5 months now. I can set that money aside, Bruce.
Jeff, have you met your fellow countrymen? It's like you have not met them. Have you watched Idiocracy?
I just have such hope. I live in a world where I don't want the help, Bruce, and I just want to be left alone, and I can't even fathom. I guess my problem is I can't fathom living life like that.
Did you monitor the origins of UBI in America? Basically, it was rich people funding pilot programs.
Okay.
You remember that? That was how it worked.
Yeah.
Which is the basic lesson that every drug dealer knows, right? First taste is free, right?
Giving them the heroin, yeah.
So I thought about doing this on a local scale because I really like Owen, and I thought about pulling Owen aside and saying, Owen, I'm going to do an experiment, and for the next 6 months, you're going to get $100 a month allowance, and then after that, I'm out of the picture.
Yeah. You'd ruin them.
Then you will pay $100 a month. I'll be the benefactor, but you'll be the federal government.
Be like, hey, Dad, where's my money?
Because you're not going to be able to live with an Owen that doesn't get these $100 a month, even once I quit paying. And so that was, I mean, that was so transparent that, because they said a lot of people, I had many people on Facebook when I would rail against the UBI. They'd say, wait a minute, you're a free market guy. That's a rich guy doing what he wants with his own money. And I said, yes, at a superficial level.
Yeah. But there's a bigger
picture.
Don't
you see the effect? The effect is to create this dependency and then walk away and leave the taxpayers holding that bag.
sponsor this segment of the show, the Blind Brothers. When you call the Blind Brothers for blinds, shutters, or shades, you're going to work directly with them. And 3 decades of combined experience, never with subcontractors. And right now, my listeners get half off installation. Just mention you heard it here on the show when you call them. My listeners get half off installation in addition to any other advertised specials. Call the Blind Brothers right now at 928-634-2423. That's 928-634-2423, or go to theblindbrothers.com.
You're listening to the Jeff Horowitz Show.
If investing in gold is new to you, I want you to call Desert Gold Exchange for a free investor's kit. Just mention the show, mention the Jeff Horowitz Show, and you can also discuss with them when you call them if converting a portion of your existing IRA or 401k into gold or silver is right for you. Talk with your financial advisor. See if this is right with your for your family. Call Desert Gold Exchange right now. You can also ask them about delivering of physical gold. They can get you that in like 72 hours. So give them a call. Here it is, Desert Gold Exchange, 888-852-4343, 888-852-4343. Call Desert Gold Exchange right now, 888-852-4343.
You're listening to The Jeff Horowitz Show. Be part of the program by calling 877-971-3971.
All right, welcome back. Yeah, you can text the Just Wireless text line. I've got one or two I'd like to get to here if I have enough time during this segment. So hang tight. Here's the text line, 877-971-3971, 877-971-3971. And thanks to Just Wireless for sponsoring the text line. Tomorrow's open line Tuesday, I guess we'll call it. It used to be open line Wednesday, but we're doing it on Tuesdays now. Olivia will be standing by for your calls. Mark Out will be in studio with me. 2 full hours of your live listener comments. We'll be talking with Stuart McDaniel in L.A. regarding the recall election and see what the heck's going on over there. Sponsor this segment of the show, WT Wealth Management. Imagine picking the brains of some of the leading mutual fund managers from Vanguard, Fidelity, and the like. Just think of the insight you might gain. That's what you're going to get when you talk with Glenn Least at WT Wealth Management. Their investment committee, they draw from over a century of combined expertise to create their own in-house strategies that you can make part of your portfolio. Give Glenn at WT Wealth Management a call right now, 928-225-2474. No obligation here. Just give them a call and have a conversation about their strategies. Call Glenn at 928-225-2474. 928-225-2474. Check them out at WTWealthManagement.com. When you look at the population, Bruce, of the United States, where did I get this? This is Wikipedia, so it could be right, it could be wrong, but okay. I think it's fairly, these numbers are, I'm sure, pretty accurate. It makes sense. Under 18 years old in America, 24% of the population, approximately. And you think about that, so a quarter of the population now who's coming of age, who maybe they're 18, maybe they're super young, they've never not known. I mean, think about if someone's 5 years old now or 10 years old now, they're never not going to know the government check. That, oh, there's a world where the government will hoist up businesses that are about to fail. They're never going to know a world where you can't just go on a social media thing and find this stuff and find out that, you know, 57% of Democrats, you know, think that Republicans are the Trump supporters are the most evil people, apparently.
Well, that's right.
Not going to know a world where you can go out and start your own business and there's not a lot of government interference,
right,
or rotary phone or whatever.
No, we've converted the country.
That's what I'm saying. There's already so many in the population.
They, you know, just to seize on our anniversary here, if they're 18 years old, having missed out on 9/11,
yeah, they weren't even alive for that.
The scariest thing they ever saw was January 6th.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, and that's
so. Maybe that's why they think DVE is the biggest problem. They didn't see
domestic.
They did domestic violent extremists,
which equals Trump supporters, right, apparently, Trump and then the unvaccinated. So they're totally brainwashing it. So I guess I want to, I want to leave folks on this topic, or leave this topic with, how do you fix that?
That's not fixable.
I mean, you sound like Doug Casey.
It's not fixable. I mean, how long have I been saying this? This is what, and even if it hadn't been all this, it's just automatic that in a true populist democracy, the inevitable future of any true populist democracy is for the 51% that have the least to seize the means of production from the 49% that have the most, and that's the end of it.
Yeah.
I mean, America was always temporary.
Well, let me leave this subject with this, Bruce, because I want to be a little more optimistic. I think what you have to do as an individual is recognize that when you look at the population, the amount of people. But I think eventually this hits, it's already at the boiling point. We're already past, you mentioned earlier about looking in the rearview mirror, and we're already past blowing through the Constitution and all that, and the roads being carpet bombed behind you.
Historical interest only.
I think what's important, though, because there is maybe a third of this country still that believes in the Constitution, I hope more, but believes in Constitution, believes in free markets, capitalism, which we don't have that anymore, believes that the government shouldn't be interfering. I hope it's
even
a third.
Even if it's 49%, it's not enough.
I understand that, but I'm saying that there's enough people, though, that when this tanks, because they're just holding it together with strings and baling wire and duct tape. Is that a good? Yeah. Not even duct tape. Duct tape's way too strong. We need people like you and me, and I think a lot of the people listening, they need to keep this going forward. They need to be prepared. Have your own COVID plan, not the government's plan. Have your own extra bit of finance, whether it be, if you're crazy enough, dollars or if it's Bitcoin, if it's gold and silver, whatever it is. Or if it's, I hear people that are filling warehouses full of the spare parts because the labor shortage.
Well, remember, I was going to buy a mountain of aluminum at one point.
Yeah, because people are, well, I'm not telling you what it is, but there's enough people out there that are preparing, because when this thing, when the masses finally recognize that these people failed us, and they have failed us, it just hasn't been recognized yet, and the rabbit hole they're taking us down. I just hope it's not like the Soviet Union where it's 70 years. Or whatever it was to come to that conclusion, but we need to be there, ready to rebuild.
Well, of course,
that's the optimism. Right. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but the 20. I'm not just picking on the under 18s here or the under 44s because this is the huge percentage of population. They don't know it for some reason. They don't get it. Not all of them, because there's the percentage in there that do. We need to be there to rebuild this, because right now we're on just that crash course, I guess, that collision course, I should use.
Right. So you
final,
want skills.
Final thoughts on that, Bruce?
Yeah. So you want skills? You know, I'm a very peaceful, pacifistic person. So I recommend doing things that protect your family, that where you're not trying to change the world, you're just trying to make sure you're okay. And just to give you a very trivial example, I'm going to do an ad for $115. You can go to Harbor Freight and buy a tailgater, and you have a generator. $115.
It's a cheap generator.
That's
just
nothing.
Get by. Yeah.
Well, just think how much better off you are.
Yeah. If it goes out.
Yeah. Just your food in your fridge.
Yeah. Whether it's even,
I mean,
it's like a hurricane.
That's a very basic thing. Very basic thing. Why doesn't everybody have a generator?
Why doesn't everybody have, even though
and a bunch of water.
Even though
look
the cans,
cheap water is.
Even though the gas cans are horrible, Bruce, why don't you have 3 gallons or 5 gallons of gas? Yeah. I hope you can find an older can because the new ones suck. Or water. Or a little bit of money. This is what I think one of the strongest things we can do. And let me add this. This is going to be, and I'm meeting with a group, Mingus Mountain Republican Club, tomorrow. I'm going to be speaking with them. One of my topics will be educating your kids. You also need to regain your education of your kids back. Whatever you got to do. If you're in it, not that all public schools are bad, but if you're in one of those public schools and it's hopeless, you need to gain back your kids' education, because this is crap that they're being taught in the schools, and it's been totally corrupted in many of our schools.
I really feel like the government has largely seized the children.
They have, but you got to take that back, and it's going to take a long time. You're a little more pessimistic than I am. You're saying, as my nose, I'm holding back
happy.
A sneeze here, Bruce.
I'm happy because it's like the Seinfeld episode. I'm in control of my own domain.
Yeah.
I have generators. I have water.
It's the summer of Bruce.
I have land. Summer of Bruce. I have land. I have gold. I have whatever.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, Everybody's vulnerable. Like if things really go bad, like Mao's China, then nobody survives that.
Exactly. But eventually, though, people do. And remember, after Mao, eventually came the, hey, we
capitalist
to make
resurgence.
Money is good.
Just
yeah,
like Venezuela. Venezuela is going to have a capitalist resurgence.
At some point, you reach the bottom. I guess someplace like Somalia.
Yeah, it's like being an addict.
Haiti never
bottom.
Seemed to
hit it.
But,
bottom.
But we have enough collective history.
Haiti
here.
Doesn't have natural resources, but Venezuela
exactly.
does.
But I just want to end on an optimistic point here that okay. you've got to like Noah, let me go in biblical terms, you got to build that ark, whatever that may be for you, and not expect right. anything from the government and be as self-reliant and self-sustaining as possible. Bruce, appreciate the time.
Bye-bye.
And before we run out of time here, I do want to get to a couple of your it looks like we've got text comments and email comments. Quite a few have come in throughout the program. But real quick, sponsor, this last portion of the show here is our good friends at Timberline Firearms and Training. And Rob Wilson, I think he's coming in sometime this week. By the way, we had to reschedule Attorney General Mark Brnovich, but we're going to have Rob Wilson this week from Timberline. Also tomorrow, don't forget, Mark Howitt will join me for 2 full hours of your live listener comments, opening up the lines. Olivia will be standing by, plus Stuart McDaniel will join us from LA on the recall. But Timberline Firearms and Training, longtime sponsor, great company out there. Their indoor shooting range, they're only about 5 minutes north of the Flagstaff Mall, but they've got their training programs going on all the time. And this upcoming, well, during the week here, tomorrow, September 14th and the 17th, September 25th, I'm going to give you the number so you can call and get the date set, but they've got Intro to Handguns coming up. Intro to Handguns. And then real soon they have the Intermediate Handgun Training as well. That's September 19th. And then they have Stop the Bleed, which I am considering signing up for myself. That's October 5th. Bleedingcontrol.org is coming in and working with Timberline Firearms and Training on that important training. So give them a call and see what they have available and availability on the schedule. And there's only so many people that can go to these. So call them right now, Timberline Firearms and Training, 928-526-7900. 928-526-7900, or just take a drive out there. Just 5 minutes past the Flagstaff Mall, and tell them I sent you. Okay. Here's an email. talkwithjeff@icloud.com. Here's another consideration no one is talking about. You can't sue Pfizer or Moderna if you have severe COVID vaccine side effects. Government likely won't compensate you for damages either. So how easy is it to demand we take the vaccine when they have no liability for the results? Brian, thank you. Like I said, I'm not anti-vax or anything like that. And you all got to make your own decision. But the worst thing, as we spent so much time today on the program, is what Biden did for those who were undecided. People are just scratching and saying, why are you forcing me? Why so heavy-handed on this? I think it was a really bad move. Let's see, another text message. And you can text anytime, the Just Wireless text line, 877-971-3971. What do you think the outcome of tomorrow's recall election will be in California? Will Newsom get recalled? I don't know. I thought that he was going to get recalled. This is going to be super close. If he does get recalled, he'll probably lose, maybe, because why would 51% recall him if they were so happy with him and then go and turn around and vote for him? Although with the number of people running, I guess anything is possible. Wouldn't that be weird if he actually got recalled and then it turned around and he actually got voted back in? That'd be insane. Tune in tomorrow. I think we're going to start right at 4:06 with Stuart McDaniel from chiming in from L.A., and we'll have open lines so you can get your thoughts in on that as well. Jeff, did your kids go back to school? Another text comment I hear, Flagstaff Christian School was closed last week due to COVID. Yes, my kids did go back to school, Olivia and Owen, for the first day. They took off. They had 3 days off, actually, last week because they don't go on Fridays. They did get back to school. I'll talk more about all of that on Wednesday. I'm going to bring Angela, my wife, on the program, so we'll hit on that more. On Wednesday. A lot of detail I want to give you, and she'll keep me straight on all the facts there. Okay, that's it for today. Remember, check out the podcast by going to talkwithjeff.com or look up Talk with Jeff on your favorite podcast provider. Open line Tuesday tomorrow with Mark Howitt, live listener comments. I'm looking forward to it. I hope you'll join us. Have a great, safe night. See you soon. on tomorrow's program. Join me at 4:06 for 2 full hours of your live listener comments. Mark Howitt's going to join me in studio. We're going to hear from Stuart McDaniel from LA regarding what's going on with the recall of Gavin Newsom. And I hope you'll chime in by text or by phone. Write down this number right now, 877-9713-971. We'll see you tomorrow at 4:06 right here on 97.1, The Big Talker.